I'm Carol Hills, and it's The World. In Cambodia in the 1970s, government officials orchestrated a massacre of the population. People there learned to fear men in suits, or at least anyone who looked too official. And when they came to the U.S. as refugees, they brought those fears with them. So what happened when they needed to do things like see a doctor? One clinic in Lowell, Massachusetts, had to deal with that issue when thousands of Cambodians arrived there in the 1980s. Heidi Shin has the story.
Doctors at the Lowell Community Health Center, they had a problem. Their exam rooms reminded refugee patients of torture chambers. The stethoscopes, the blood pressure cuff squeezing your arm, they look like the torture devices used on their families during Cambodia's genocide. Sonit Pu is a program director here. His own father was executed by the Khmer Rouge, so he knows how critical it is to make patients here feel comfortable. He gives an example.
When we have patients here, we usually we don't close the door all the way, because sometimes, especially for people who experience torture, to make them feel like they're not sitting in the cell.
He says when patients suffered nightmares and insomnia, mental health workers on staff were eager to listen. But the first few sessions only made Cambodian patients feel worse. They'd go home feeling like they'd said too much, and their families had lost faith. That's when the clinic took a different approach. They built a meditation lounge and invited a Buddhist monk and a traditional Cambodian healer to consult with their team. They called it the Metta Center. And in the early years, they often performed age-old therapies in their exam rooms, like cupping. That's the sound of glass cups being heated by flame and pressed to a patient's back. Coining is another traditional treatment where a lubricated coin is raked across your skin, leaving tiger red stripes. The pain fights the pain, they say. 35-year-old Sochi Chan turns to coining for headaches. It's to manage the stress of being a single mom and caring for her aging parents. She says it's even better than Tylenol or Advil.
I feel not like heavy on my shoulder anymore. Yeah. I don't have to use Tylenol or Advil. I think it's the best medicine for me.
And it's a reminder of what life was like back home. Sometimes that's enough to help patients consider other options, like talk therapy and medication. Bonnie Chan joined the center's meditation sessions just after 9/11.
I know that I'm suffering. Sometimes I cannot sleep the whole night.
She just lost her factory job, and all of the stresses triggered memories of Cambodia.
In 1975, I still a student in Phnom Penh University of Cambodia, but I didn't finish it yet. So the Khmer Rouge take place, and I lose everything.
Being identified as an intellectual, even just wearing glasses, was enough to get you sent to a forced labor camp. She survived, but three of her brothers didn't. Bonnie sits cross-legged, shrouded in a white sheet. She finds meditating here can help. But she tells me with a nervous laugh that sitting in silence, that can be hard too.
Because our mind sometimes is still wandering. They call monkey mind. The past sometimes I think about the life in Khmer Rouge. Then when that happened, I become sad. But we have to learn how to live in the present.
At the heart of the center's success seems the ability to make people feel at home. One elderly man used to come just to sit and read the Cambodian newspapers in the lobby. That said, where people call home has changed over the years. Lowell has welcomed new refugees from other parts of the world. Now, with funding from the UN Voluntary Fund for Torture Victims, the clinic is offering health screenings for those who have just arrived from places like Iraq, Congo, and Somalia. And the center's newest challenge is helping these newcomers, survivors of their own wars, to also feel at home. For The World, Heidi Shin, Lowell, Massachusetts.
As we heard in Heidi's story, cupping and coining can leave unusual marks on the skin. Heidi has some incredible photos of those therapies. You can see them at PRI.org. Heidi's story was produced with support from the Images and Voices of Hope Restorative Narrative Fellowship.